I want to welcome everyone to the service tonight. Hopefully, you'll be benefited by it. I was supposed to talk last Sunday night, and I got a respiratory problem, and I cough a lot, and I asked Neil to take my place. We swapped Sunday night, so Neil was on a short notice last Sunday, and I appreciate him doing that for me. But I'm better tonight, but I may still cough a little bit. Got me some water, and Jackson, if I play out, my notes are pretty complete, so just step on up here. All right, so I want to talk a little bit about influence tonight. I loved Hugh's lesson this morning. I was a little concerned when he started. I was afraid we were going to overlap quite a bit, but I don't believe we did that, but I think we'll complement one another. We have a lot of obstacles in life, like you told us this morning, and you've done a good job of illustrating it. And we have tools that the Lord has given us to overcome a lot of those obstacles, to work around them. Sometimes we have to live with them to some extent, learn to work through it. And a lot of times, the people around us can be a great benefit to being able to overcome those. I thought about this word a lot over the past week, and that's the reason I kind of wanted to put a lesson together about it. I've used some of these slides before that you're going to see. It's been several years, so maybe it won't be too redundant. But, you know, when you think about influence, you can go a lot of directions with it. But here's the dictionary definition of it: the power to change or affect someone or something. The power to cause changes without directly forcing them to happen. And the second, a person or a thing that affects someone or something in an important way. I think it's important as we go through this tonight that we all recognize a couple of different things. First, we need to recognize the influence that we have on others. We affect others in different capacities, but we do have a great influence on their lives. And our actions affect those around us. They may affect generations to come. And we need to recognize that fact. And maybe it'll help us make better decisions and help us to keep our minds on the right things. We also need to recognize the influence that others have on us. We need to be careful about that. We need to be careful about the circles that we're involved in, the close circle that we have around us, and recognize that those people and their actions and the way they live have a lot of influence on our lives, either indirectly or directly. So as we go through these slides, I want you to keep that in mind. When I think about influence, I thought this was an excellent example. And I found this line: when you drop a pebble into a pond, ripples spread out, changing all the water in the pool. The ripples hit the shore, rebound, bumping into one another, breaking each other apart, and in some small way, the pond is never the same again. I'm not sure who wrote that line, but I like it. And I think it tells a really good story. And I think that we can find a lot of application in our lives in that illustration. That pebble has a far-reaching influence on the entire pond. So are different events and relationships and activities that we might find in our lives. Think about the influence that Christ had on the world. I want to read Acts chapter 1, starting in verse 4. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. And when they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, it's not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And ye shall be witness unto me both in Jerusalem, in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Here in Acts 1, Christ and the pouring out of the Spirit on the apostles at Jerusalem had a far-reaching ripple effect on the entire world. Just imagine what our world would look like today if Christ had never came. Today, over 2,000 years after his birth, the whole world, believers and non-believers alike, know who Christ is. They know about his birth. As members of Christ's church and followers of his teachings, we remember his death, burial, and resurrection each first day of the week, just as he taught his disciples to do. Think about the influence of the cross, what that symbol means. Imagine the influence the cross has played over the last 2,000 years. What a ripple. The symbol of the cross is a reminder of Christ, of his crucifixion, of Christianity itself through the ages. We sing songs about the cross and what it means. It is a reminder of Christ and his sacrifice, of the love of God that he has for each of us. We have crosses on our wall at home. Many of you have jewelry in the form of a cross. Remember that it's not a piece of art. It's not just jewelry. Remember what it symbolizes. I think I doubled up that one. No, maybe I didn't. This is another verse I wanted to read about this. Mark 15, 32 through 39, it said, let Christ, the King of Israel, descend now from the cross, that we may see and believe. And they that were crucified with him reviled him. And when the sixth hour was come, there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. And at the ninth hour, Jesus Christ cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, which is being interpreted, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And some of them that stood by when they heard it said, behold, he calleth Elias. And one ran and filled a sponge full of vinegar and put it on a reed and gave him to drink, and saying, let it alone. Let us see whether Elias will come to take him down. And Jesus cried with a loud voice and gave up the ghost. And the veil of the temple was rent in twain from top to bottom. And when the centurion which stood over against him saw that he so cried out, that he gave up the ghost. And he said, truly this man was the Son of God. When you see that cross, remember what it symbolizes. I was reading in Joshua the other day, and I came across this story. If you'll remember, when Joshua led the children of Israel across the Jordan, God told Joshua to set up 12 stones in a pile to remind the children of Israel of their entering into the promised land. In Joshua, we can read of that symbol. In Joshua 4 and 1 through 7, it says, "It came to pass when all the people were clean passed over Jordan, the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, Take you 12 men out of the people, out of every tribe a man, and command ye them, saying, Take you hence out of the midst of Jordan, out of the place where the priest's feet stood firm, 12 stones. And you shall carry them over with you, and leave them in the lodging place where you shall lodge this night." And then Joshua called the 12 men whom he had prepared for the children of Israel, out of every tribe a man. And Joshua said unto them, "Pass over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of Jordan, and take up every man of you a stone upon his shoulder, according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, that this may be a sign among you, that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, What mean ye by these stones? Then ye shall answer them, that the waters of Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord, when it passed over Jordan. The waters of Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be for a memorial unto the children of Israel forever." It was a symbol. It was a symbol for Israel, so that they would remember what God had done for them, how he saved them. You know, God's always give his people a symbol or something to remember to get their minds focused back on what they should be thinking about, and about him and their dependence on God and his grace. Today, we have the Lord's Supper. The influence of our actions in worship on others. As we all know, we have other symbols that are meant to remind us of Christ and what he did for us. Have you ever thought about the influence of partaking of the Lord's Supper every first day of the week has had on your children? That's something they remember. It's ingrained in them, and they remember that. And we all come together here this morning and met around this table and partook of that feast to remember our Lord and Savior's death and his shed blood. Those are the things that bring us back to remembrance of what God has done for us and the sacrifices that have been given. They influence our lives, but they also influence others around us because they see what it means to us if we do it right. And it'll influence our children, just like the stacked stones did Israel. Our children ask questions when they get old enough to understand. Why do we do that? What's that mean? It's an opportunity for you to make an influence. Think about the influence of the Spirit. 1 John 1 verses 1 through 3. It says, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby ye know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world. Have you ever thought about this verse? Every spirit that confesses that that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. Those words have a lot of influence on me. It's something to think about. Let's talk about your actions and influence the actions of others. As our illustration in the beginning, when you drop a pebble into a pond and the ripples spread out, changing all the water in the pool, the ripple hits the shore and rebounds, bumping into one another, breaking each other apart, and in some way the pond is never the same again. That's the way our lives are. My interaction with the members of this church gives me so much strength. Most of you have no idea what a blessing you've been to me and to my family just by witnessing how you deal with the difficulties in your life and lean on your faith. We are so blessed to have such a large number of strong, faithful Christians of all ages as examples. I'm truly humbled when I witness the faith and the working love that some of our young families exhibit in their lives for the church and for each other. None of us are perfect. We all have our faults. And we all have to deal with outside influences in our lives. But the influences of other Christians is a stabilizing force for us all. Please learn to recognize that and to use it to encourage and lift each other up. That is one of the reasons that we gather together in this building, is to have an influence on one another for the right reason and encourage one another for the right purpose. Your associations will affect you. You know, 1 Corinthians 15:33 says, "Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners." We teach that to our kids. We want to impress upon them that it's very important how they pick their friends. And it is. But it's also important where we work and the circles that we socialize in. All these things affect us in one way or another. Remember the story about the ripple in the pond. Sometimes it's more than a ripple. We can allow people or things to influence our lives, and it becomes more like crashing waves than it is ripples in a pond. Choose your heroes wisely. They will influence the person you become. I'm not sure hero's the right word to use here, but your examples in life. We all have them. We all have people that we admire, that we want to be more like. We all have people that influence us, both good and bad. We need to realize that none are perfect. We need to try to take the good and leave the bad. Whatever you do in life, you need to do it with the knowledge that your actions are going to come back to you. It may take a while, but you don't get away from things very easy. Be aware that your actions have lasting effects on those around you. Just like those ripples in that pond, they come back and they revisit. We all have family. We go to school. We have spouses, jobs, co-workers, church members, children. We are an influence on all of those to some extent, and it's either good or it's bad. Sometimes it's both in different areas of our life. And then also, they are influences on us. And we need to recognize that fact so that we can use it as a tool and not let it be something that drags us down and takes us in the wrong direction. We need to be thoughtful, we need to be careful, and we need to be helpful. 2 Peter 1 says in verse 5, "And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." We all have choices to make. If the environment you're in is bad, change the environment. Don't try to just wait it out and hope everything gets better. Next month, I'll be 65 years old. I've been attending this congregation for 47 years. Many people that influenced me in my life from this congregation are gone now. They might have been your parents, your grandparents, your great-granddad. The good ones aren't always here forever. The strongest influence in my life has no doubt been Janine for 46 years. Because of the love and respect that we have for each other, we make an effort to please each other, to not disappoint each other. Sometimes I'm not successful. But I try, you know, and that's what we all need to do, is try every day. I'm stronger when I'm with her, because of her expectations of me. And I believe that she's the same way. Like that, we are all stronger when we're around one another. We have expectations of one another. When we are alone, we are the weakest and most vulnerable. And that's when the devil takes advantage. And we need to recognize that fact and guard against it. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. That's what Paul told us in Galatians 5 and 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. We need to keep these things foremost in our mind. And it's a choice. Our world today offers a lot of distractions. Facebook, the internet, your computer. Those are the new ones. But work, entertainment, hobbies, sports, it's unlimited. All the things that you can allow to distract you. Take up your time and keep you away from your family and your God. And you have to learn to be disciplined enough to know what's important and not let those other things influence the person you become. I want to leave you here tonight with Paul's words to the Philippian church. This is one of my favorite verses in the Bible. If we could all learn just to do this, we would enjoy a much, much better life. Paul said in Philippians 4, 8 through 9, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are a good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things." It's a choice. We can choose how we influence others, and we can choose how others influence us. I'll leave my message with you tonight. We haven't talked on the first principles, but we always want to offer the invitation of the Lord. If there's anyone here that needs the prayers of the church, or that has not become a member of Christ's body, we're here to help you. Would you please come as we stand and sing?